Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
I'm glad to be here, and I won't keep you all morning, I promise, but let me say this. I'm not going to give you a little sermonette for Christianettes. We're gonna get into the Word for a little bit. So if you brought your Bible, whether it's a paper Bible or on a device, you'll probably need that. So this morning we're gonna talk about the joy of living, and it's so awesome because God gave things like He actually gave that also to Roland this morning. But the song selection, or as they would say, the young people would say, the playlist this morning. And the words that Brother Roland gave us about joy, we're going to go into that for just a little bit, all right? So hold on to your hats. I want to encourage you today with things that you probably have already heard before, but they're so important that they bear repeating. And I've been delivered from the fear of repetition. You know, it's like, oh, have I said that before? Guess what? I'm liable to say it again. In fact, I can assure you that I will. So, now, I'm not in the full-time ministry, as you can tell, and Roland has said. Andy and I are business people, but I am a full-time believer. I am a full-time child of the true and living God. Amen? For people like you and me, this is not a side hustle, is it? No, this is the main event. This is the real deal. And living for Jesus and giving Him our lives, our time, our attention, that's what we're all about. Amen? Amen. Now, before we get started, I want to tell you something. In my opinion, a lot of things in the Old Testament, and particularly about the children of Israel wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, a lot of that which the New Testament says is for our example. We need to know about those things. A lot of that was like a neon sign going, don't do it like this. Amen? That 40 years of wandering and all the things the Israelites went through, it's for our admonition. Don't do it this way. That's a big flashing sign. So I'm going to tell you something just a moment to get started. And this is another one of those. Don't do it like this. So just bear with me. This isn't scriptural, but it'll make a point. A woman died and went to heaven. And as she approached the gate of heaven, the Apostle Peter was standing there. And she came up and he said, well, sister, welcome to heaven. Welcome to the joy of heaven. And she thought, well, I can hardly believe I made it. He said, no, you are welcome to come in. Now, before you enter the gate, you have to do one more thing. You have to pass a test. She said, a test? He said, yes, just a simple spelling test. And she said, all right, sir, what's the word I have to spell? He looked at her and said, love. She said, love? Yes, love. Well, L-O-V-E. He said, that's right, sister. You passed the test. You may enter in now through the gate of heaven. And as she did, he said, oh, just one moment, please. I've just been informed there's something very important I need to take care of immediately. Would you do me one favor and just stand here at the gate? And for the 2 or 3 minutes I'm gone, should anyone approach, would you administer the spelling test to them? She said, yes, sir, I will. So he went on his way. And lo and behold, within a minute or two, she saw someone approaching the gate of heaven, looked like a man, and as he got closer, it was her ex-husband. So he walked up and looked her in the face and said, wow, when did you get here? She said, well, just a few minutes ago. And he said to her, can you believe I made it? She didn't reply. She just kind of stood there. Anyway, doing what she was told to do, she said, well, one more thing before you can enter into heaven. You have to pass a spelling test. He said, okay, what's the word I have to spell? She looked at him and said, Czechoslovakia. So, I'm just saying that is like a, should be like a sign to you and me about the love of God. Don't do it like this. Amen? Amen. Okay, well, this morning we want to talk about the joy of living. And I have good news. Jesus is the joy of living. Yes, He is. And He Himself told us in John 16:24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So this morning, I want us to consider that for just a moment. You, each of us in our own hearts, what would it take in your life for your joy to be full? I have something in my heart, something very specific. What would it take for your joy to be full? Think about that. Well, Jesus has invited us to ask him. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Now, the best definition I have found for the word joy is this: gladness of heart. There are other ramifications, but that's the one I want to focus on today. Gladness of heart. 1 Peter 1:8, Peter's talking about the Lord Jesus, and he says, "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Well, you could say, Jackie, these days, what do we have to be glad about? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there's plenty. The answer to that is plenty. Let's look at Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Let me see. I have it marked. I could probably quote it, but I'm going to read it just for good measure. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Okay, Jackie, in these days, what do we have to be glad about? How what's this gladness of heart thing about today? Let's look. Psalm 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Now, if you're 18 or 19 or 20 years old here this morning, that verse, verse number 5, may not seem to be that relevant to you. So that it satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. But I can assure you that if the Lord God Almighty delays the return of the Master, delays the rapture, the catching away of the church, you're going to like that scripture at some point. That's going to be one of your favorite scriptures. Yes, it will. So I would just encourage you today, put that on your scripture list. Hallelujah, the Lord satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen? I'm telling you, that day is coming, and I want to say, of course, Roland has already said we're old people, but I want to say that today, it's true. It is true. God is faithful. Yes, he is. All right. So, notice, just for a moment, again, that he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. God's mercies are, and this is a definition, I love it: deep, tender compassion for those who are dear to him and need his help. Hallelujah. How many of you, I'm raising my hand, how many of you would that apply to? Amen? Deep, tender compassion for those who are dear to him and need his help. Well, now I will say this. If you've always done everything right, you don't need mercy. You can get by on justice. But if, like the rest of us, you haven't always done everything just exactly right, then the tender mercy of God makes up for it every time. Every time. In fact, if you ever read Psalm 136, it's the psalm that in every single verse it says, "Thank the Lord for this. His mercy endures forever. To the God who made this, for his mercy endures forever." I absolutely love to read that psalm, and I read it on a fairly regular basis. You can say, "Oh, I know I get the point." No, you don't get the point. I'm telling you, if ever anybody gets up to speak and they say, "Oh, today God's given me a message. We're going to talk about healing." And a thought comes, yeah, I've heard all about that. Hallelujah. That's really good. No, I would say get a grip on yourself and open your ears, okay? Because since the Word of God is alive, it's active, it's operative, it's energizing, it's effective, and it's always new. So let's don't any of us, me included, ever think, yeah, I've heard that. Uh-uh. No. We're never going to take that attitude with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Well, excuse me while I lick my fingers. My pages are sticking together. All right. Joy and happiness. I want to talk about happy for just a minute. Joy and happiness are closely related. as Roland has already told us this morning, joy is a fruit of your born-again spirit. Hallelujah. Happiness is an emotion. I want to say something about emotions. Aren't you glad for emotions? Aren't you glad that we aren't, on the one hand, we're not robots and machines and, you know, artificial intelligence? Hey, everything up here is real. There's nothing artificial about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing artificial about that. So I thank God for emotions. Now, they're not worthy leaders for big decisions in life. When you get hotter than a pistol about something, you know, you better just cool down for a while and say, help me, Jesus, before you go off and do something that you will later regret. You will, okay? So emotions are not worthy leaders, but they can make life really sweet. So thank God for that. Happiness is an emotion. You know, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, not as many as are led by some big high or some terrible low. Amen? So, happy means to be delighted or to be pleased about something. That's good. Amen? Amen. In fact, in Psalm 144, it's written by King David. He lists, it's a wonderful psalm, he lists all these things that God has done for him and his children. And then the very last verse, it says this: happy are the people who live like this. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Well, that's you and me. Amen? Amen. Now, this is going to date some of us, but do any of you in here remember a man named Barry McGuire? When he was in the secular world, he was with the New Christy Minstrels. Then he got born again, and he started singing and speaking for the Lord. He's still alive. I think he's 88 or 89 years old, but he's still alive and going strong. Well, he was part of the Jesus Revolution. Okay, so he wrote a song, and it's called Happy Road. Has anybody heard that little, it's just a little ditty, Happy Road. I don't think I'm going to sing it. Maybe I will. Andy, can you give me some reverb? No, I'm just teasing. Of course, a song is really a poem set to music. But anyway, this is it. Why, it's a happy road that I'm traveling on. I just can't help myself. You've got me singing a happy song. Since your sun came shining, I know it won't be long until your happy road is taking me home. Anyway, I couldn't help myself. Because, see, I don't want Roland to ask me to be a vocalist, okay? So I say, well, I better not sing that, right? Right. But it is, I'm telling you, look it up on YouTube, Happy Road by Barry McGuire. That's not all there is to it, but that's the chorus. It will get your feet to dancing. And it's a good thing for us to keep in mind every day, day in and day out. It's a happy road that I'm traveling on. I can't help myself. You got me singing a happy song. Since your sun came shining, I know it won't be long until your happy road is taking me home. Hallelujah. Listen, heaven is a happy place. Isn't that what we heard? Isn't that what we read? Heaven is a happy place. There won't be any sickness or sorrow of any kind. There won't be any lack of any good thing in heaven. Hallelujah. So as God's children, we have a great future, don't we? Yeah. The future is as bright as God can make it. Hallelujah. That is good news. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, joy. Let's get back to joy for a moment. Gladness of heart will keep us cheerful, even when circumstances wouldn't make us anything but happy or anything but cheerful. Yes, we all have responsibilities and, dare I say, challenges. But we have a champion. We have challenges. But we have a champion, and his name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is our champion. And listen, a champion is one who has defeated all opponents and holds first place. Doesn't that just thrill you? I'm going to start crying up here. It'd be crying for happy. Cry for happy. But Jesus has defeated all opponents, and he holds the first place. Challenges, yes. Champion, absolutely. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, we're not any of us in here living with a bag over our heads, unaware of world events. No, you know, Jesus himself told us in John chapter 21 that the time would come when men's hearts ladies, that applies to us too. It's the hearts of people would fail them for fear as they look at things that are coming on the earth. And I submit to you that these are those days. But I also see we have a champion. Hallelujah. We understand these are perilous and stressful times, but are you and I going to weep and wail and wring our hands in despair? Absolutely not. We're going to draw near to God and trust Him. James tells us, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. That's the truth. That is the honest truth. We're going to draw near to the Lord and trust in Him because He is love, He is life, and He is light. In fact, Jesus Himself brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, the good news. And the good news is so good that the bad news doesn't matter because the bad news won't last forever, but the good news will. Amen, Roland?
Amen.
The bad news won't last forever, but the good news will. Now, let's turn very quickly to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. I have it right here. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. See, I like to use the Word of God because otherwise I'm just up here talking to hear myself talk. And listen, I can do that anytime, anywhere, you know. Ask my husband. He knows it's the truth. So it isn't, and I do have opinions. Oh, I have opinions like you can't believe. But I try never to express those from the pulpit. This is a sacred thing here. This, you know, this is a sacred thing. And I want to stay with the Word. And that's what we get here all the time at Island Church. I mean, that's how Pastor Rusty feeds all the time. So we're thankful for that. All right. We are in 2 Corinthians 4. Let's start with verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Ooh, look at that word, perishing. That can also be translated as growing older. That's a little softer, isn't it? Even though our outward man is growing older, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, we could also say we're not paying close attention to the things that are seen. I mean, we're not supposed to go around literally with blinders on. We're not looking at the things that are seen. Of course, we know that that is not what Paul is saying. So we're not looking at or giving our full attention to the things that are seen, but to those things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. That means they're subject to change. Hallelujah. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. We are thankful for that. Let me just say this. That portion, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, let me encourage you. Don't turn a season or a time of trouble into forever. Okay? Let's don't do that. Psalm 30 says, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. There's an expiration date on that, all right? There's an expiration date on grief and sadness and loss. And who hasn't experienced that? You don't have to be much more than 8 or 9 or 10 years old to have experienced some of that in your life. Amen? But the Word of God encourages us. That's just for a moment. Let's never, never let that turn into forever. Amen? Amen. That's not the will of God. He loves you. He loves you. It's not His will, and He has provided the remedy for that. Hallelujah. So, joy, gladness of heart will save the day for us if we will believe on it and act on it. Hallelujah. But you know, as believers, that's what we do. We believe. Amen? We believe. It's a choice we make. It really is. It's a choice. You know, even atheists choose to believe that there's no God. I mean, that's a choice they have actually made. They choose to believe there is no God. But you know, when I think about an atheist, and I don't think about that very often, I will freely admit, but their worldview, for me, it takes faith to believe that everything we see came from nothing, for no reason. I mean, that's a leap of faith I'm unwilling to take. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I just can't, no. I just won't believe that. It's really not true to say that I cannot believe something. The actual truth is I do not believe it. I will not believe it. So I know it takes faith to believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but that's something I can stake my life on. Hallelujah. So believing is a choice we made. We can also choose to believe that Jesus is not only our Savior, but our healer, our provider, our protector, our wisdom, our ability. In fact, Jesus is to you and me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Now, the Word of God is alive, as we just said a few minutes ago. It's alive, and it has within itself, the Word of God has within itself, all that's necessary for us to hear it and then receive whatever it promises. The power is in the Word. You couple that with your choosing to believe, that will produce God's will in your life. Yes, it will. Yes, it will, because the Word is alive. You and I, we meditate on the Word until we become persuaded of its validity. We're not trying to persuade the Lord to help us. Amen? Our part is to let ourselves become persuaded that what God has said, He will do. You know, Abraham had to do that, Romans chapter 4. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And he received, didn't he? He surely did. He received a lot of things, but the first thing, he received the child of promise, Isaac. Isaac, the child of promise. And listen, you don't have to read Genesis but once or twice to get this. Abraham was not perfect in his execution of God's will. But you'll also admit freely that Abraham was single-minded to do at all costs what God told him to do. At all costs. He was willing to give up Isaac, to kill him. The New Testament says, because he believed God would raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. So, do we have to be perfect in our execution of everything? No. Nobody said that. If anybody's saying that to you, they're misguided, and don't give them any attention. It's not about perfect execution. It's about a heart for God. It's about a willingness to say, I see that, Lord, I was wrong. It's about repenting. Isn't repentance a wonderful thing? I am so glad that we get to repent. I mean, that isn't just for sinners. Hello? I mean, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 8 years old. You know what that means? The vast majority of sinning I have done has been since I got born again. I mean, I just be truthful. I hope that didn't bother anybody, but it's the truth. So thank God for repentance. If we confess our sins, Christians, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, that's the truth. That is the truth. Hallelujah. You and I have the responsibility to, and the privilege, to seek out the Word, meditate on it, roll around in it, renew our minds with it, till it becomes real in our lives. And we're also admonished not to be lazy. I think King James probably said, don't be a sluggard, but I don't know, sluggard is not a word I use, all the time. Lazy, okay. Don't be lazy, but follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hey, we can do it. In the name of Jesus, we can. Now, Jesus told us in Matthew 6 not to worry. Not to worry about what we will eat, what we will drink, what clothes we will wear. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things before you ask. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In that verse, righteousness means this: God's way of doing and being right. It doesn't mean seek first to have right standing with God. You get that automatically when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Right now, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, what pleases Him, okay, what's acceptable to Him. And we can find that in the Word. And all these things will be added to you. That should make us glad. Hallelujah. Indeed. Now, Are you and I to make plans in advance for things? You better. If your pantry is a little low on food, you better not go to the store without a list, because you might come back with things you really need that you weren't aware of. So are we to make lists? Are we to plan? Absolutely. Listen, newsflash, don't go on a vacation without knowing what kind of clothes you need to take. We're getting ready to, my husband and I are getting ready to make a road trip, and I'm watching my weather app and going, it's going to be that chilly? I guess no shorts and t-shirts for me. They're having a cold front, you know. So should you make plans in advance? Yes. Jesus wasn't saying that, and we understand it. He was saying, don't take anxious thought and worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What clothes are we going to wear? No, don't worry. Ask without worrying. We can ask. Make plans in advance. We don't have to be anxious. Amen? Amen. Now, you may be unaware of this, but all your life, God has been meeting your needs behind the scenes. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. As youngsters, our parents provided for us, and they should. That's their God-given responsibility. But as we grow up and mature, that changes, doesn't it? I'll never forget when our son was in middle school, his best friend, whom we knew the family very well, his best friend was telling me one day, oh, it's time for spring break, and my parents are taking me and my two younger brothers to Hawaii. I said, oh, Ben, how great. And he goes, yeah, you know, another family vacation. I said, Benjamin, look at me. The day will come when you will remember these wonderful trips that your parents took you on and paid for everything. You will remember those very fondly. That day has come. Anyway, so as we grow up and mature, we realize that we're depending on God. He is our source. And listen, he doesn't always use the same channel every time to get things to us. In fact, sometimes a greatly used channel will dry up. And we can be sure of this, that if it does dry up or if it is cut off, another one will take its place, because God is faithful. Amen? Amen. So when Jesus said, don't take anxious thought, it's because anxiety and worry in our hearts, that reveals a lack of faith in God. But listen, he's never failed to keep his word, and he never will. He never will. Hallelujah. Newsflash. I have a newsflash. The resume of God speaks for itself. The resume of God speaks for itself. Now, what is a resume? It's a document that presents someone's background, skills, and accomplishments. Guess what? We have that document right here. The resume of God. It speaks for itself. It's impressive. Let you and me choose to believe it. Amen? Choose to believe it. Now, let's look at Psalm. I'm almost finished. Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12, and it tells us, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Now look, that's just two verses. We've got shout for joy, rejoice, shout for joy, be joyful. I mean, do you get a pattern going here? Hallelujah. And that's Old Testament, for goodness sake. We're living, if they were admonished to do that, we are living under a better covenant with better promises. Amen? Amen. But Lord, you will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him as with a shield. Thank you, Jesus. So we can choose to believe that and act like it's true. Yes, we can. The Bible has told us God has armed us with strength for the battle. He's armed us with strength for the battle. And we're told to fight the good fight of faith, the fight of unshakable confidence in God, regardless of present circumstances. Because, again, we're not living with bags over our heads. We encounter opposition and challenges, but we have a champion. Hallelujah. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So how do we fight? Well, I have found in my life primarily I fight with the word of God that lives in my heart and comes out of my mouth. In fact, you know, the Bible in Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. One of the pieces of armor, it says, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And when the Bible tells us in Revelation, I think it is 19, that Jesus comes out and he slays his enemies with the sword of his mouth. We understand that doesn't mean there's this big metal sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus and it's going around. No, the sword is the words that he speaks. And the sword of the Spirit is not in your hand, it's in your mouth. It's the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So how do we fight? Primarily, the word of God in your heart and in your mouth. Hallelujah. You know, just think, in the beginning, the word was spoken so it could be written. And now in our day, thank God, we have it written. We have it written so it can be spoken. That is the truth. Thank God for the word of God in our own language. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If once you get born again, if you never have access to the word of God, that's crippling. If you don't have any scripture, because that's where our faith to live comes from. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Roland mentioned earlier something about a bad attitude or people. I forget exactly what you said, but it made me think of Eeyore. I'm going to talk about Eeyore for a second. Eeyore. A good attitude. Okay. Do you remember Winnie the Pooh books? Have any of you ever read those to your children? Okay. Well, you remember Winnie the Pooh had a friend named Eeyore. Eeyore was a little donkey, right? Well, he was Pooh's friend, but listen, he was pessimistic, gloomy, and depressed. He actually liked sad more than glad. Have you ever known anyone like that? Don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. But all of us probably have known people or had people in our lives that are rather like that. In fact, they don't see the glass as half full. No, they don't see that there is a glass. I mean, to them, there's not even a glass to start with. It doesn't have anything in it at all because it doesn't exist. Well, listen, that's acting like God died and you missed his funeral. But that isn't us, amen? No. The resume of God speaks for itself. And as born-again believers, you and I don't have any reason, any justification to act like that and to think like that, to give what I would call give those thoughts free rent, the thoughts from the devil, free rent in your mind. Now, I also realize as a mature woman that thoughts bombard us. They do. They do. And I'd like to tell you teenagers that it just gets easier and easier. Well, I can't really say that it gets easier, but you do learn with some godly wisdom how to combat that. Now, you know, Brother Hagin used to say this, and I'm going to repeat it. You cannot keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent that bird from making a nest in your hair. Yes, you can. And there was an old song that it was an old rock and roll song. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I hear you knocking, go back where you've been. Well, listen, we ought to put some force behind that ourselves when it comes to thoughts. Yeah, I hear that, but I'm not giving it any place, right? I'm not giving that free rent in my head. Eeyore or no Eeyore, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, this is my last thing about joy and happiness. And happy road, and hey, I'm going to start dancing up here. Either that or I'm going to snort. Anyway, Romans 14, and this is we're on the downhill slide here. Can you stay with me just a few more minutes? Is it getting late? Oh, well, help us, Jesus. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hey, that is a trio of truth that we can meditate on, amen, and will help us live in victory. with a sound mind in stressful times. Hallelujah. You know, this thing about a sound mind, in the Amplified Bible, I do believe, the scripture in 1 Timothy, help me, Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Amplified adds to that. Power, love, and a sound mind. Listen to me. That is calm and well-balanced. Oh, yeah. I wrote that. This is not an Amplified. It's a New King James. I wrote that in ink in my Bible. A sound mind that is calm and well-balanced. You know, your mind is the seat of your intellect and your memory. And the longer you live, the more important you understand that is. Sometimes you'll see older people with memory problems. It does happen to a lot of people. I'm not going to lie about it. I mean, I could lie about it, but you know the truth, so it wouldn't do any good. But let me say this. That's not inevitable. That is not inevitable. Guard your mind. Thank God that your intellect and your memory firmly and fully intact. Now, I know our son, who's 34 years old, once in a while, he'll say something and he'll ask me something and it takes me, just a little while to respond. And he'll go, Mother, and I'll say, look, Joseph, I'm a lot older than you are. My mind is so much more full and so much more active than yours is that, so it takes me 6 seconds to latch on to that name from 40 years ago. Don't worry about it. I'll come up with it. Amen? Man. Okay. Anyway, it's the truth. No, it's the truth. So this trio, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, righteousness. Now, in this verse, it represents our right standing with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, we're not righteous because we've done everything right. We're righteous because Jesus did everything right. Hallelujah. And we made him the Lord of our lives and received eternal life. That righteousness was immediately imparted to us in our spirits. We became a new creature in him. Aren't you glad? A new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, peace, righteousness, peace. In its fullest sense, peace is rest, contentment, and harmony with nothing missing and nothing broken. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds wonderful to me. And you know, you remember that one of the official titles of the Lord Jesus is Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9. I tell you, maybe 10 years ago in a real hard time in my life, somebody just happened to say, someone I don't even know, but I heard them say this, you know, I'm so glad Jesus is my Prince of Peace. That hit me like a ton of bricks. And I took it that day, and it changed me. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. And he is. Officially. I mean, that's not someone that somebody just said, well, that, you know, that's it rhymes or whatever. That sounds good. No. He is the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord. And then Jesus gave us his peace. He gave us his peace. In John 14, 27, he told his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So when we see things that are coming on the earth, you can say, well, Jackie, what do you mean peace? How can we possibly look? Yeah, I see those things too. But Jesus gave me his peace. In the midst of everything to the contrary, Jesus gave me his peace. And I don't mean to say that life is just one horrible battle after the other and, you know, we're just holding out to the end. Hey, we have joy. We have gladness of heart. Amen? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, when we say Jesus gave us his peace, just think about this for a moment. God is a giver. Amen? God is a giver. Someone said this long ago, and I took it to heart. I like it. They said, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And God is a giver. Hallelujah. All you have to do is look at John 3:16. I'm going to quote that. I don't mean you have to look at it. I mean, you just have to remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, indeed, God is a giver. Now, a gift has nothing to do with what the recipient deserves. A gift has to do with the love in the heart of the giver toward that person. Amen? And aren't we thankful for that? We love him because he first loved us. I mean, it's the truth. You and I didn't just go looking and, I love God and I want this and that. No, he came looking for you first. He so loved the world, and we qualified on that. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you just a little example of giving and of love. A few years ago, I was wanting another. I know Andy's going to turn green up there. I was kind of wanting another piece of jewelry. I like bracelets. And the Lord Jesus and my husband have been really good to me. Amen, precious? Yes, they have. They have. So I had kind of said something, and Andy was, and I had looked around, and I had showed him a couple of things. But honestly, I hadn't found the thing I really wanted. But I was looking. Okay, now, a good friend of mine, her mother-in-law had recently passed away. And it was a well-to-do family, and her mother-in-law had left lots of jewelry, and all of it went to my friend. So my friend said one day, she said, "Jackie, got all this jewelry, but my daughter and I don't want it because some of it is yellow gold, and they only wear white gold and platinum." Good for them. Anyway, so she said, "So I'd like to bring it sometime and see if there's anything you like." I said, "Yeah, sure." Months and months and months went by. So one day she and I meet for lunch, and she brings this little cloth bag. We're sitting at the table waiting for our food. She opens it up, and she pours onto the table 5 pieces of solid yellow gold jewelry. And, oh, they were beautiful. I mean, nice. But since some of them were bracelets. Since I had been looking for a bracelet, I felt that Precious would probably let me buy one. So I said to her, I said, "Debbie, those are all 5 pieces are absolutely gorgeous. I really think Andy will let me buy one. What do you want for them?" She looked at me. She said, "Jackie, these are not for sale. I'm giving them to you." Whoa. I mean, I didn't start bawling and squalling, but I did. Tears did. I said, "Debbie, I couldn't possibly take that." She said, "No, I want to give them to you." So I said, "Thank you." And I meet this girlfriend almost every single week for lunch. Almost every single Thursday we meet for lunch. And I've always got one of the bracelets on because I like bracelets. And she said to me a couple of times, she said, "It makes me so happy to see you wearing those because I know how much my mother-in-law enjoyed them." See, it wasn't me. I didn't deserve squat. But for some reason, Debbie loves me. And it blessed her and her husband. I mean, he was totally willing to give his mother's really nice jewelry to me. Can you believe it? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is it has to do God's love for us as the receiver. Amen? And then you can't help but love a heavenly father like that. That's the truth. Now, you might say, "Well, Jackie, you're talking about gold jewelry up there, and my sister needs rent money next month." Hey, I understand that. This is the real world. I understand that totally. But let me say this. What God does for someone in no way affects his ability nor his desire to do that for you, whatever it may be. We have to get that into our hearts. Or, let me tell you, resentment can come in. "Well, they got a new car. My car's 12 years old, and I really..." Well, put your words on it. Put your heart to it. Ask God. Ask God for what you want and believe him. And then, may I say this? Obey him. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Listen, God is good and faithful. He's merciful and mighty. But let me tell you something God isn't. He's not broke and he's not stingy. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, joy, gladness of heart, keeps us cheerful and stable and ready for the ride. Ready for the ride, focusing on the goodness of God. Now, this is my last scripture, and then we're going to stand up and make a short confession. When the Israelites came back into their land after captivity, they sang this song to the Lord, and it's out of Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3, the New Living Translation. Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3. We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. The other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Hallelujah. The Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. The New King James says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Amen. Well, you and I can take up that same song before the Lord. That same song, that same confession before the Lord. It also says, the psalmist also said, I believed, therefore I spoke. Well, we also believe and therefore speak. Hallelujah. Great things, amazing things are coming my way in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, listen, stand with me. We're going to have a good confession, and then Roland's going to take us home. Let's have a good confession. Okay, say this after me. Great things, amazing things are coming my way. In Jesus' name, I am redeemed. I am delivered. I am healed. I am free. Fear now has no hold on me. I am far from oppression, for God's word is my confession. Amen. Amen. Well, did you get something this morning? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? All right. All right. Listen, let's pray, and then Roland's coming. Lord Jesus, you are the joy of living. Day in and day out, you are always faithful and true. We have your life, your love, your nature, and your ability. Today, we thank you, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.